Welcome to Book Spectrum. I'm your host, Chris Cordani. This is the show where I bring you authors and writers, but they aren't necessarily seasoned in that field. They're from other occupations across the spectrum. With me, I have a doctor. As someone who has had problems with his own airways when I was younger, my own airways, however you want to put that, this book I'm going to discuss today is extremely helpful for parents to understand more about not only what their afflicted child is going through, but the potential overall health problems and how to fix them. You might remember, maybe you suffered this as a kid, had some little trouble breathing, a little extra sniffing, or you woke up with a little extra stuffiness. There were reasons for that, but we didn't know back then. Heck, did you have a lot of ear infections when you were a kid? I did. I had tubes put in my ears. But there are other reasons, and we are going to find out about those today, and this could change a lot of young people's lives. With me on Book Spectrum is Dr. Shireen Lim. She wrote the book Breathe, Sleep, and Thrive. It's about this particular affliction, and really, I'm happy to have you here, Dr. Lim, because we're going to be talking about a lot of very interesting things here. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Dr. Lim.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
The book is Breathe, Sleep, and Thrive, and we're talking on opposite ends of the world here because you're in Australia. You're also a dentist. How did you notice these problems in young people and figure out a way to solve them?
Yeah, so I originally became interested in breathing through my husband's snoring. So my husband's snoring was driving me pretty crazy, got me up one night, decided that I was going to look at how I could help resolve this issue. I knew that dental appliances that reposition the jaws forward during sleep could help to open up the airway and reduce snoring. And so I decided I was going to enroll in a postgraduate course to learn all about that. But learning more and more about those problems, I started to understand that snoring can be a symptom of a more serious breathing disorder called obstructive sleep apnea. Now, these are not problems that occur suddenly with age or putting on weight. They have their developmental origins in early childhood. And so they develop when mouth breathing begins and when our airway structures don't form properly. And a lot of this has to do with how our jaws are forming.
Explain that mouth breathing thing, because you see some young people who are having trouble breathing through their noses and you think, hey, well, maybe their noses are stuffed. Parents were probably thinking, hey, maybe it's just a little bit of interference. They can still breathe a little bit. They'll grow out of it.
For sure. So with our nose is specially designed for breathing. When we breathe through our nose, it filters and warms and humidifies the air before it goes into our lungs. And it also allows us to get the most restful sleep. So if we close our mouth and we try to snore, we'll find that it's much harder than when we close our mouth, when we open our mouth and try. And so we have more instability of the airway, and that's when we have more problems like snoring and obstructive breathing. But we need to pay special attention to mouth breathing in childhood, because mouth breathing also affects the way that our jaws and facial structures grow. Our face would tend to grow in a forward, a downward and backward direction. And so we tend to have more high, narrow palates and receded lower jaws when we mouth breathe. And
how did you find this out? This is incredible, because I've never heard of anything like this. I'm a layman. I'm not a doctor. I get that. I just interview people. I'm a radio producer and radio host. I get it. I'm not supposed to know all this, but I had ear infections and plenty of them when I was a kid. I had trouble breathing when I was a kid. You're saying that me and a lot of other people it would have been a little bit better for us now if that was the case. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, when we have a lot of ear infections, part of that reason is that when we don't breathe well through our nose, we're not actually filtering the air with germs and bacteria. And so we're going to tend to get more infections of our middle ear. But middle ear infections, I also think, are a symptom of poor swallowing. And so when we don't swallow well, our eustachian tubes don't work really well. And to swallow well, we really need good tongue elevation and soft palate elevation. And when we have narrow jaws, we know that it reduces the support for our soft palate and we don't get that proper attention during swallowing. So there's a lot of research to support that palate expansion in children can actually improve eustachian tube function and address this chronic gluia and improve hearing thresholds.
I'm here with Dr. Shireen Lim on Book Spectrum. Her book is called Breathe, sleep, and thrive. And this is important. You're a dentist, and we mentioned it earlier, but you're a dentist. And what puts you in that position as a dentist to notice this and figure this out, that it, to a point where maybe another medical doctor, even an ENT, may not have figured this out?
Well, we know that narrow palates and receded jaws are really well-recognized risk factors for the development of obstructive sleep apnea. And we can actually, as dentists, be the best people to identify when jaw development is off track. So for instance, when we have crooked teeth, it usually is a symptom of poor jaw development. And so we can recognize those children that come to us for their regular preventive care, those children that have problems like lack of spacing between their baby teeth or cross bites, or different orthodontic problems that reflect poor development. And if we recognize that the stimulus from jaw development comes from the way that our mouth muscles work, we need to pay special attention to the way that the muscles of the mouth are working during sucking, swallowing, and breathing in the earliest years of life when the jaws are developing most rapidly. So we can look at things like how the tongue is functioning, you know, how well children are chewing, the tone of those muscles. We can recognize a lot of clues inside the mouth.
Looking back, I would have hoped to have this kind of knowledge when I was younger. And again, it's not easy to figure these things out because you're thinking, well, the kid's just making noises when he's breathing. The kid's just clearing his throat too much, or the kid's got a couple of ear infections. We can clear those up with a doctor. However, the good idea is this book will help parents from here on forward. Talk about, though, the breathing complications that we can have as adults if this is not discovered in one's youth anymore.
Well, I think very importantly, one thing that we need to touch on is really that when children don't breathe well, it affects their whole sleep. And we need the most restorative sleep during those earliest years of life when our brains are developing most rapidly. So we know that problems like mouth breathing and snoring are linked to increased risk of behavioral and learning problems and ADHD type of symptoms in childhood. But for adults that develop more serious problems over their life, they're going to have more fragmented sleep. Sometimes they can have drops in oxygenation, and these can create chronic stress and inflammation and increase risk of virtually every health condition, from depression, dementia, heart problems, cancers. Every single chronic health disease can almost be linked back to poor sleep and the quality of our sleep that comes from our breathing.
I keep watching commercials about junk sleep. This is one bed company that says, oh, sleep in our bed. You won't have that junk sleep anymore. I'm sure to an extent people need that extra comfort, but it's the breathing. It seems like it's the breathing. This book is enlightening in that respect because you're going to, and I said it before, you're going to change a lot of young people's lives. You're going to open up a lot of parents' eyes. However, there are a lot of people, again, like myself, who kind of are stuck with these breathing problems. Is there a way we can maybe, I know we can't, okay, I'm guessing we can't fully repair this now, but is there a way we can kind of fight back a little bit at least?
Yeah, if we recognize that these breathing problems are actually a reflection of poor airway development and poor airway function, what we can do is we can try to restore the airway structures and restore the way that the airway muscles work. And so when it comes to structures, we can basically look inside the airway. Well, there are symptomatic improvements that can be gained by things like CPAP or dental devices that move the lower jaw forward. When these open up the airway, they help people achieve more restorative sleep. However, they're not particularly targeted. People rely on them and they really only band-aid the nighttime problem. So if we want to restore airway health, which is good breathing and good airway structure, we need to look inside the airway for things like enlarged tonsils, adenoids, problems inside the nose, deviated septums, those type of things. But we also need to consider the outer framework of the airway, which is really formed by those jaws. And so when it comes to the jaws, they really are the floor of the nasal passages, the space for the tongue, and the framework for the collapsible upper airway muscles. And so there are adult interventions to restore the jaw structures. For instance, we can do palate widening in adults. It's a little bit more complicated, but that really can get to the root of the problem for people that don't want to rely on Band-Aid solutions. So we know, for example, a lot of people that have nasal surgery, when it fails or there's persistent nasal obstruction, what is the common risk factor? It's a poor poor palate or a high and narrow palate. And so we can actually intervene with that in adults. We can also do double jaw advancement surgery. So that's generally regarded as one of the most successful surgeries for obstructive sleep apnea. And what that involves is bringing those jaws forward. Because when we bring those jaws forward, it opens up the back of our throat. So it really allows the air to flow more freely between our soft palate and behind our soft palate and our tongue.
Here's something interesting. You're in Australia, as I mentioned before. I host another show called The Outhouse Lounge, where I had a didgeridoo player named Pitts Quattroni. And he was telling me that playing the didgeridoo could actually help cure sleep apnea. And it made sense because you move your mouth in very strange ways and different ways where it does kind of give it a workout and change the path a little bit. But since I have a doctor here, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I talked before with the different things that we can do to improve the airway structure, but we also need to improve airway function. And so the ultimate goal is achieving nasal breathing daytime and nighttime, but also the throat is a collapsible airway, and we need to improve the tone of those throat muscles to have a more stable airway. So we do know that didgeridoo playing can actually increase the tone of those muscles. And it's not really a frontline option, but it can definitely help in support with other interventions to improve the way that the muscles are working. We also know that there's a thing called myofunctional therapy. So this is really exercises of the muscles of our mouth, including our tongue and our throat muscles. And this was really, there's been more attention to that ever since that evidence for the effectiveness of didgeridoo playing. And so we know that these type of exercises can actually be a missing link to help restore proper breathing after we have interventions like orthodontic treatment and surgery.
You're hearing this from a real doctor, Dr. Shireen Lim. She's the author of Breathe, Sleep, and Thrive, and she knows where she's speaking. I guess I'm going to have to get me a didgeridoo. That just has to happen. Maybe kids should get one. Prescribe a didgeridoo to get all sorts of kids. But I will say that this can get a lot more serious. What are the what's the range of, for lack of a better term, since I said the word just a few moments ago, seriousness in breathing problems as a child and where they lead to later on?
Well, if I can touch back to the idea that children should get a didgeridoo. Well, when we look at those muscles of the throat, really they are those muscles that are involved in sucking during breastfeeding, swallowing, and breathing. So we want to optimize all those functions and even during speech. And the next question was really about what is the impact on children. Well, when I see children that are not having good sleep, that's a large part of my practice, and I'm seeing children that are actually really not functioning well. They have problems with emotional regulation. They're having meltdowns, and parents are feeling like they're walking on eggshells because they've got poor attention and concentration, or children are just, you know, very sensitive or difficult to manage in their behaviors, and it has an impact on the child's whole family. So we do know that when we have disturbed breathing, it does impact the brain development during those really critical windows.
Another very important point in your book, you stress that these issues as a child can also cause problems with intelligence and memory.
Yeah, correct. There's actually research to support that there are changes that go on inside the brain. We have less gray matter in certain sections that are involved with executive functioning and so on. But even when I see adults that have disturbed breathing, one of the most common presentations is brain fog and memory concerns.
How does that work, though? It's just breathing. Parents are going to tell you and kids are going to tell you it's just breathing. Why? How would it affect the brain? How would it affect one's intelligence?
A couple of different ways. So when we don't sleep well, we have a lot of sleep fragmentation and we're going to have poor attention. And so that can affect our learning. But also there is a direct impact because when we have oxygen deprivation, it actually one of the most important things that will be affected is our brain. And so that's how we get the structural changes that are occurring in our brain.
Dr. Lim, you make sure that your patients find ways to breathe better. But what made you decide to sit down and write a book about this and share your thoughts with the whole world?
I think healthcare is very compartmentalized. So one patient might go to several different physicians, you know, one for depression, one for heart disease, one for diabetes, one for, you know, all their reflux, different conditions, but no one's really putting it all together. No one's really addressing the quality of the sleep and how is that being impacted by the way that we breathe. And when we come to breathing difficulties, we're so focused on diagnosing obstructive sleep apnea. And 85% of people that have this condition are undiagnosed. But the bigger picture is that we're missing all the precursor forms. We're missing all those more subtle breathing disturbances that occur during childhood or premenopause or in those thinner individuals. And so I think that when I see the adult that comes in that has the brain fog and has had decades worth of poor quality of life, it really despairs me because I can see the clues inside the mouth. I can see the poor jaw development, and I can see that perhaps they have a tongue tie, which has restricted their normal oral function. And we could have actually intervened with this much, much earlier, and we could have actually helped them achieve a better trajectory of life. And so as a dentist and with someone with sleep medicine training, I'm able to really bridge those professions, and I feel that I'm in a position to be able to connect those dots. And I think that it's really important for me to get the message out so that we can ensure more people have a better quality of life and also impact future generations as well.
As a professional, Dr. Lim, you can figure these things out when you see them in your patients. Parents, however, they might not be so sure. What are some early stage symptoms, if you will, or things that parents can watch their children do that might alarm them and might make them say, hey, let's go to a doctor. Let's talk to Dr. Lim or somebody who knows what they're doing about this.
Yeah, I can really discuss this in two parts. Firstly, we need to let parents know that it's worthwhile paying close attention to how a child is sleeping. A lot of parents, if their child sleeps through the night, they think that their child's a really great sleeper because they haven't come in and disturbed them. Mm-hmm. However, we need to make sure that children are breathing with their mouth closed and through their nose, and they're looking pretty still and peaceful. And so parents can recognize red flags like mouth breathing, snoring, any gasping during sleep, any restlessness, sleeping with their neck hyperextended, bedwetting, teeth grinding, unexplained awakenings, feeling unrefreshed on waking. These are all symptoms of poor breathing during sleep. And so if we recognize also that the jaws play an important structural contribution to the way that we breathe, and the stimulus for good jaw development is good oral function, we need to be able to recognize those earliest oral dysfunctions. For instance, if we have breastfeeding problems, or we have difficulties chewing and swallowing, or sometimes picky eating can be because of difficulties with these issues. If we have ear infections, which are related to poor swallowing and eustachian tube function, and those type of problems like nasal congestion or allergies, we need to be alert that these are the earliest warning signs.
Dr. Shireen Lim is with me on Book Spectrum. You also formed a Facebook group for professionals and other members to discuss certain ideas and exchange them to help young people move forward and get over what's happening, or at least get the help they need. It's called the Airway Health for Kids Facebook group. Airway Health for Kids, the number four, not spelled out, F-O-R. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I just reflected that that was established 7 years ago. And, you know, at the time when I first became involved in speaking on these type of topics, there was some opposition from certain dental professionals that really didn't want me to propose that dental treatment could actually help with a child's breathing and sleep. But I actually really wanted to be able to promote the research to support this and why we need to be paying more attention to it. And so it just started off as a local group trying to disseminate information, and it just became much bigger over time. So now we have international professionals from all different disciplines, because I think that it involves a team approach. All different childcare professionals need to be on board with the importance of healthy breathing through the nose and good sleep. And I really wanted to promote more crosstalk.
The medical industry, and you also emphasize this in the book, that the medical industry tends to be reactive when they see problems or see the symptoms. They can try to cure them or try to work with them, but it's very difficult to be proactive. And again, that word I always considered made up from the 90s on, but that's a different story for a different day. But the idea is, are there ways for parents to try to prevent this from happening with their young children beforehand? Or are there conditions you can give them and so they don't develop something like this?
We need to recognize that our very earliest warning signs are what we call myofunctional disorders, which is problems with how the mouth is working and is functioning during sucking, swallowing, and breathing and chewing. So when we have these issues, like those breastfeeding issues or dummy use or poor swallowing, we need to recognize the bigger picture, that these are affecting the way that our jaw structures grow. And when our jaw structures don't grow well, our airway doesn't grow well, and we're going to have some limitation of airflow. And we need to promote nasal breathing, because nasal breathing is the way that we're designed to breathe, and we need to develop this as early as possible.
Once again, Dr. Shireen Lim is with me on Book Spectrum. The title of her book is Breathe, Sleep, and Thrive. I want to thank you for being with me here, but a couple of things that I guess I'll rephrase it a little bit better. What would you like our listeners who will read the book and anybody reading the book to come out with the most? What would you want them to learn from the book itself and, of course, to understand while after reading it?
I would like people to recognize that breathing disturbances, we actually do have quite a bit of control over developing healthy breathing, healthy sleep, healthy airways, if only we know what to look out for. And so a lot of common issues that children experience are really dismissed as things that they will grow out of. Things like those ear infections that we talked about, or teeth grinding, or bedwetting, and difficulties with their eating, we need to recognize that they may not necessarily be growing out of it. It could actually be affecting the way that they're sleeping and the way that they're growing. And this could lead to a downhill trajectory of airway development and breathing down the track.
Dr. Lim, thank you very much for being with us on Book Spectrum.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, the book is titled Breathe, Sleep, and Thrive. Dr. Shireen Lim is the author. Dr. Shireen Lim, thank you very much for being with us on Book Spectrum.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Once again, the book is Breathe, Sleep, and Thrive. If anyone wants to find any more information about you, do you have a website? And I do note that the Facebook page is still there as well. That, once again, is... I'm trying to get you to say that. I'm sorry. One more time. Okay, I'm going to say it one more time. All right, ready? Once again, the book is titled Breathe, Sleep, and Thrive by Dr. Lim. If any of our listeners would like to know a little more about you, do you have a website they can find you on?
Yes, the website is www.drshireenlim.com.au. And I'm very active on social media, on Facebook in particular, always sharing different cases and different things that parents can look out for as well. So that's another great place to find me.
Excellent. Find Dr. Shireen Lim on her website and, of course, on Facebook. Find the book at Amazon and wherever you get your books. Download, buy the hard copy, whichever one makes you happy. I'm Chris Cordani. Once again, thank you for listening to Book Spectrum.